Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to this week's Weekly D, where we're talking about everything social media. And I have on today the lovely Megan Lee, aka Meg the Supernova. Today, we are going to be talking about how to deal with online hate, getting cancelled, and all of the online fuckery. Get ready for a very interesting podcast. This is the Weekly D, because honey, if you ain't getting your D on the daily, you better at least begin it once on the Weekly.
If you're not getting any and you want some tea, then come and join Dan up on the Weekly D. It's the Weekly D.
Yay! Well, welcome everyone. Welcome Meg the Supernova. Thank you so much for joining us. Meg, what is your last name? I don't actually know your last name. Is it like a secret?
Megan Lee.
Meg Lee. Megan
nice and easy.
You know when you like know someone from social media and then you're like, I don't actually know your last
name.
Oh,
no, I know.
Like, I only know your like Instagram name.
Yeah, like the Instagram handle, like, and then sometimes the name is underneath and I'm like, who is this person? I don't even know this person. But yes, it's Megan Lee. And I have no middle name, so it's just Megan Lee.
Oh, why no middle name? Your parents just didn't want to give you one.
They couldn't decide. There was already three kids before me and they picked middle names for the first two and then they skipped me and my sister and then they picked a name for my brother. So I don't know, they couldn't decide and they're like, we're just going to keep her Megan Lee.
Fair.
But it's funny
because I
always went by Megan until I started pole dancing and then suddenly it turned to Meg and now everybody who knows me from pole calls me Meg and everybody who knows me from before pole calls me Megan. So... It's weird. I don't know why that happened.
It's like, well, I'm Dan Rosenpole purely because Dad is just shorter than Daniel. I mean, Daniel Rosenpole. It just doesn't have the same ring to
it. No, it doesn't
so now
sound
everyone really calls me Dan.
It's too formal.
I mean, in school,
no,
I used to
no,
get called
sense.
Danny. Yeah. Yeah, people, like when I was in school, like people used to call me Danny. It was just like horrible
Danny
and I hated
boy.
It. So at least I've kind of moved. Yeah, Danny boy. Exactly. I've moved away from that stage of my life. I'm on to Dan now. Dan's just easy. It rolls off the tongue easy enough, you know.
I love
so
that.
So everyone calls me Dan. So we are here today to talk about social media. And we are specifically, our focus is, we're going to be doing some shit talking today. Let's just be honest. We're going to be chatting some shit today.
Yeah, we really are.
If you're easily offended, this might not be the podcast for you. I'm going to recommend for you to go on to another one, maybe. But we're going to be talking about the real shit of social media today. We're going to be talking about getting cancelled online, dealing with trolls online, some of the shitty behaviour that we see online. We're going to be talking about it today. And this is the sort of stuff that's super important for anyone listening because you want to probably avoid stuff like this because it's not served us very well in the past. And we're going to be talking about all of the mistakes that we've made. So maybe you're going to learn a lot from this. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself. For anyone who's listening to this, who maybe hasn't met you before or doesn't know of you, let them know who you are. Give us a little blurb.
So, my name is Meg. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. So that's where I live right now in the States. I own two pole studios with my business partner, Rachel. So we own Ecole de Pole Cleveland, which is a part of the Ecole de Pole franchise created by Justine McLucas. So she hosts a lot of pole camps all around the world. She's a super awesome poler. She's a great businesswoman. So, we opened Ecole de Pole Cleveland in 2017, and then we just purchased and opened our second Ecole de Pole Akron last year. So I began polling, I believe it was July of 2015. I was in college at the time getting my undergrad in English with a focus in creative writing. And, you know, at the time when I discovered pole, I just sort of went to like a little class with my friend and it stuck immediately. It was immediate chemistry, immediate sparks. And after that, my life kind of just like completely veered off from my original plan of I wanted to be an English professor or like a grant writer. So I do a lot of writing still to this day. But yeah, so I competition coach, I have competed multiple times, although I'm not competing currently. I teach a lot of workshops. I've taught thousands of classes, work like international workshops. I'm a cold to pole master trainer, so I teach certifications as well. I think that that's probably a good summary of sort of my,
quite a lot.
Yeah, my current credentials. I'm a shit talker, I would say. You know, I've caused a lot of, if people know me from back, I would say maybe 3-4 years ago, people know me as like, not that I was a problem child on Instagram, but like, I definitely have a tendency to speak my mind.
It's really funny because one of the things that always reminds me of you is whenever I think of Tuesday Topic, so Tuesday Topic,
I
see your name pop up. Oh,
I miss those so much. No, like it would literally be me and Jamie Elkert. I would send her the Tuesday Topic and she'd be like, okay, I'm going to go in on this one and you need to back me up. And then the next week I'd be like, I'm going in on this one and you need to back me up because I know we're going to get so much hate for what we're about to say right now. But no, I love
it. I would just see your name like pop up and I would be like, oh fuck, what's she going to say now? And it would just be, but the thing is, you know, you're not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily say it's that you shit talk. It's just you're very to the point, which is actually really funny because Canadians, Americans generally, compared to people in the UK at least, are not very well known for that. Like, I've noticed that it's mainly US, I'd say, but I don't know about Canadians as such, but I kind of
really
watch them in a similar. Yeah, I just noticed that you never really see any problematic Canadians or Americans. It tends to be like Europeans. And,
I've noticed that too, because I've spent a lot of time, especially in France, and the French are very candid, like very, very, very candid, and they're very direct. Very. I think Americans, we've got into this, I don't know how it kind of crafted socially, but we've gotten to this mindset where every little thing we say, we have to be mindful that it's not offensive to the to anyone around us, even if it's not to the person we're addressing. So it's just really pigeonholed us and put us into this box of like, people are policing constantly what is being said, like from an American perspective. And it's not quite the same in Europe, I feel like.
I mean, it is in a way, it's definitely getting more like that, I would say. I think, you know, the whole, as people like to call it, woke culture, I guess, is like becoming more prevalent here. But I would say like, it's never as bad as it is in the US. I mean, it's so funny though, like you don't actually realize the differences between some parts of Europe as well, even. Like, so one of my friends, Athena Wolf, you might know her. She's a
coach. I love her. She's very like to the point as well.
she's very similar. Like, she's like very to the point. She doesn't really get a lot of the stuff that we all talk about in the industry, and like, because in Serbia, like, it's a lot more behind the times. And we were at a pole camp literally just last week together, and one of the girls there called Andrea, shout out to Andrea, she was talking about her kids, and then so Athena was like, well, just smack him, right? She said, we can't do that. She's like, what? She's like, you can't hit your kids. She's like, no. So, oh, it's fine. She's like, just do it. He won't do it again. It's just so funny how like different it is. And
oh,
I think that's the thing.
It's so funny because I go into her online classes so much. I love her. I go into her online classes and she just lets it rip. But it's not like in a mean way. It's just like, this is just her opinion. And she just says it.
Right.
And then I'm looking at the other people in class because I'm laughing about it and I think it's hilarious. But I'm like, man, I wonder, like, I'm sure she's pissed some people off before with this. Like, I know she has.
Right. Yeah, I think she is very, this is one thing that I think is super important as well for people who work in, or do anything on social media. It's like, you got to be really confident in your opinions and be like, it's going to offend someone. And if it does, that's okay. That's their problem. It's not mine. Whereas I can tend to veer a little bit on the side of like, if I'm going to offend someone online, it doesn't matter who it is. If I offend someone, I feel really bad about it. And then I'm like, oh no, maybe I should delete it because this one person didn't like it. It's like, whereas she just doesn't give a shit about that. Like, she just doesn't. I love that. I wish I was more like that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The people pleasing like elements of us, I think we have to put those aside when it comes to like online communication, because you're not going to please everybody. Someone is going to find something to be pissed off about in regards to what you say. You could say the sky is blue and someone will find that offensive somewhere. So at this point, right. I'm like, listen, I don't give a fuck. If someone doesn't like what I say, they can look away. They don't have to read my shit. They don't have to listen to me talk. So whatever.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, you got to realize that everything, and almost everything that we say on social media is subjective. Like, different people have different opinions on it, and that's okay, I guess. Do you know what I mean? But a lot of right. people just like to take that next step too far. Like, see, for me, like, I'm happy just to scroll past Puff, but people, it seems, aren't willing to do that all the time. I'm like, right. babe, just scroll past it. Like, just, you don't need to fall out with that person. You don't need to unfollow mm-hmm. them. It's just one post you don't agree with. Just scroll past it. Whereas it seems a lot exactly. more people nowadays just aren't really able to do that. And that's quite sad, really.
Mm-hmm. But
we have kind of veered off a little bit. We're kind of on, I want to hold this subject a second
okay,
before
that's
we
fine.
Go on to that. Only because I wanted to, before I got stuck onto that, because I do want to go into that sort of stuff. I want to ask you, first of all, before we do anything, I want to talk to you just basically about your social media page. I mean, you've got like 36,000 followers. You've got a mm-hmm. decent following on social media. How did you build up that following? And was there something that kind of like sparked it? Like, what was it that yes. started it all off?
So I would say when I first started, so I had a flip phone until almost 2016. I was really, really, really behind with the technology because I never used social media. I didn't have a Facebook. I had a MySpace for like a little time, but I've never been like a social media person. Not that I thought it was pointless or useless or something like that. I just never really understood it. And, you know, for reasons I'll go into later, like I always raise my eyebrows at it, that it's like, it's a little too like personal for me. I'm not sure exactly what it was. But then when I started doing poll, I got a smartphone because I wanted to get Instagram, like specifically for Instagram. I finally transitioned mm-hmm. over into the smartphone era of my life. But so when I first started my Instagram, it was like the end of 2015, almost beginning of 2016, and I was about 6 months into doing pole. So I was already kind of good at pole. But you know, I still didn't have like an understanding of social media. So I just started posting little training clips, little videos. And that was when, for us ancient old people, we could only post 15 seconds of film, like way back in the day.
That's crazy. How did people do fucking pole combos in 15 seconds? Crazy.
No, it was so sick. I'm like, I felt so hurried as well. And it was before we had access to real music. So I would have to play the song that I wanted to use in the background of my video, like on a tiny iPad in the corner, connected to these like ghetto ass speakers in my house, and then run to the pole and do a 15 second combo probably like 50 times before I was happy with it and posting it on social media. So it was hard work. The children of today will never understand what we went through.
They will not.
That's neither here nor there. So I got like a decent little following. I would say maybe like over the course of like 6 months, I got maybe like 3,000 followers. But honestly, what really popped my social media off was summer of 2017. So it was like the following year. I had mm-hmm. this moment where my videos kind of transitioned from doing like a tiny little combo trick, like where it's clear I'm just doing a trick, to like an actual like flowy to the music. It was a multitude of things. I'm going to be honest. Partially, it was because of that bodysuit that I wore. And I wore it to death because it got me popular. It was that like thin black bodysuit that came down this way. It was almost looks like a wrestling leotard. And I got it off Amazon. And then I started posting videos where I would dance, like very flowy dance, like spinny flow, with my hair down, mm-hmm. with the bodysuit on. And I painted my home studio white, like the walls used to be brown and I painted them white. And I feel like those changes, where it went from being like showing off a trick to me actually flowing with music, my Instagram just exploded that summer. I think I got like 20,000 followers just over the course of like 3 or 4 months. And it was insane. I mean, every video that I posted was getting 40,000 views, 60,000 views, 90,000 views, 100,000 views. It just was over and over again. So the algorithm was really, really happy with me at that time. So I think that that was kind of when my Instagram sort of took off. And then ever since then, it's slowly increased, but I still have not. I've been in the Instagram doghouse for years now for reasons that I'm sure will come up later in the podcast.
I can't wait for people to hear this.
Yeah, there's reasons why. There's reasons why I'm in the Instagram doghouse. And I know a lot of other people are struggling with like being shadow banned and stuff. But what was used to be so easy, getting 60, 70,000 views, is now almost nearly impossible for my page. Right. So I still have a consistent, like there's still a consistent rise in followers, but nothing will touch like the summer of 2017 and the fucking bodysuit videos. So.
Yeah. I mean, do you think as well, like that maybe the reason you had that increase at the time was because you changed the aesthetic of your content? Because
yeah,
I was just chatting to someone else about this. I think it's so important. Like if you've got this clean background now, you're now wearing this cute outfit, you're flowing to the music. It's more, you're creating content rather than just posting a combo. Do you think that correlates with following and stuff?
Yes, I absolutely think so, because it was even just in my movement. As soon as I changed from going like music just playing in the background and me doing something random to me actually moving to the music, that was when I think people started to notice my Instagram. And then of course, when I painted my studio white, like it went from like this brown cluttered background to this like clean white wall. And it was just me and my body and the bodysuit and the hair. And like everyone was just like, oh my God, suddenly we like her. And I was like, okay. Right. And it was a little pandery because I'm like, damn, I'm kind of a trickster and I have to be over here like flowing around like this all the time. Not that I didn't like it, but it definitely, I think I got caught sort of in that category for a really long time. So I'm like, this is what gets views.
Well, this is the thing, and the views change your style, because obviously you want to give, you know, the audience what they want, I guess. And if that's what they want, you're going to do that. But I think, you know, aesthetics, I think, are definitely important, because you are more inclined to sit and watch a video with a nice aesthetic to it. This is why, you know, my social media like has never really grown much more than what it has. And I've been lucky to have it grow as much as it has, because I never have the same aesthetic in every video. I've got some videos from my studio, some videos from my friend's studio, some videos from Thailand, some videos from this pole camp. And it just changes. But actually, I've found that now people are used to that with my content, so they're used to it. But when you're seeing someone's content for the first time, if you click and you're like, oh, this has got a really nice aesthetic to it, like a lot of the Russian girls who are in Bali, they're all training in this similar studio. It's got a nice white background.
Right, with like the green foliage, like outside the windows. It all looks so like clean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's aesthetics, isn't it? And it's so important, because I think if you've got a nice aesthetic, that's going to hook people. And then once they're hooked, they're going to see how actually good you are. And what's funny is actually there are some pole dancers out there, and this is not, I'm not deliberately being shady here, I'm sure they'd agree with me. Like there are some pole dancers out there who are very good at aesthetics, very good at putting on cute outfits, making themselves look perfect, making the video look perfect. But actually, skill level wise, they're not actually very good.
No,
they're just very good at creating content.
And actually, the reverse is true as well. Like there's some pole dancers who are so fucking good, who are so multiversed and like multidimensional and so varied in their skill level, but their aesthetic and their camera skills or whatever the case may be is so shit. Like the example that comes to mind, I love her so much. She was literally she was the first professional pole workshop or pole private that I ever took. Lindsay Lythe. Do you know Lindsay Lythe?
Oh my God. Yeah. So, and again, Lindsay, if you listen to this,
Why
are you filming your videos through a peephole? Why is she filming them? It looks like someone's filming her through her, like the little spy hole
peephole.
on the door.
Yeah, like someone's filming her through a keyhole. I'm like, girl, what is going on? And she's so good. And she's so
She's
good.
so good.
And I'm like, what is happening here? Like, what is going on? It's like a fisheye lens. I don't understand it. But like, that's like the example that I was
I
thinking
think
of.
she's doing it because she doesn't have much room. I'm guessing. I'm guessing she, maybe the room doesn't have much space, and she's
I
doing
can
it so she can
understand
get
that.
further back, maybe.
But there's got to be
Yeah.
another option. There's got to be another option for her.
Right.
And
You'd
she's,
pull it
like I
out the
said, she's
door or something,
so
wouldn't you?
good. Like, she was the one who taught me. She taught me Texas Tornado. She taught me Chinese Phoenix, which is like one of my favorite moves ever. And like, I have so much of my original like inspiration from pole came from her. So I see her videos and I always like them because she's so great. But I'm like, girl, this like peeping Tom vibe, it's giving like
Right.
too much. I don't know what's happening.
It's just I just find it hard to watch. It doesn't, it's not even just the aesthetics. It's a little bit blurry. It's not like the
Yeah.
quality is just bad. That's all it is. It's just bad quality. And
Right.
that's the
And it
thing
just
is
goes to
that.
show you that it's like it is kind of cutthroat, you know? Like social media and the way you're presented on social media is so cutthroat that way. You have to be so in line with all these different things to even be have a chance at being relevant for one day before your video is done and then you have to start thinking up a new one. So it's
Absolutely.
exhausting.
It
It's
is.
exhausting.
I think aesthetics are super important if you want to grow though. I think like it, especially when you see like and but sometimes the aesthetics don't have to necessarily be like you've got this beautiful, stunning studio. I mean, some of that like we're about to do a competition on pole vaults called the World's Prettiest Pole Studio, and some of these studios being tagged are like Instagram stunning, like fucking gorgeous. But it doesn't even necessarily have to be that. Like, I would just like, if anyone's listening to this, like, please just like move the spray bottle and the jackets on the floor in the background behind
Or
you. Like,
just like
just tidy it up a little bit.
center the pole in the like center the pole on the video. Like for me it's
Right.
less about like the it's less about like what's going on around. It's more like if the angle is shit, if the lighting is bad.
Yeah.
I can't say this enough. I freak out on my students and my staff, whoever I see doing this, when they're trying to film themselves and their camera lens on their phone is like dirty or greasy or oily. Like they're always like, Meg, will you take a video for me? And I'm like looking through and the lights are all like this, you know, because like there's just like dirt on the
Yeah.
screen. And I'm like, why are you
Right.
posting this? It looks terrible. So I like am always cleaning everyone's phone cameras because I'm like, I can't do this. Even just putting through like a little bit of effort in that way. But I know for everyone that doesn't come natural. You know what I mean? Like some people just don't think about
Yeah.
those sorts of things.
And I guess as well, like for some of the people that we're talking about, like for example, students, I guess obviously they're not looking to become a pole dance teacher or
Right.
influencer. So maybe for them, they don't really give a shit, you know? And
Yeah,
that's
that's
fine. I
true.
understand that.
That's
This is
fair.
more, and you know, if anyone listening to this is like, oh, well, you know, not everyone wants to be an influencer. Yeah, I absolutely understand. I do agree with what you're saying, but we're only talking about this from the point of view of someone who's wanting to get bigger on social media
Right.
through pole. That's really the whole point of this series. So it's more like from that point of view. I just think that aesthetics definitely has a lot to do with it, more
It
so than skill
does.
sometimes, which is kind of sad, really. Do you not think that we're literally at a point now
Yeah.
where people who are so good just aren't getting the following because their content doesn't look as nice as someone else's? Isn't that
Yeah,
mad?
I mean, yes, I would say it's a shame, but at the same time, like, you know, I didn't have a fancy studio. I literally had a tiny room smaller than this with one pole in it. I bought a couple mirrors from like a hotel liquidation sale. They were $30 each. Put them against the wall, painted the walls white, and that was it. You know what I mean? So
Right.
if we, you know, we could sit around and say, you know, oh, it's sad, but honestly, like all of these things are in their control. And if you want to get noticed on social media, like you need to swallow your pride. Like this is a lesson I learned. You need to do some level of pandering. You need to understand what the audience
Yeah.
wants to see And that's the only way that you're really going to grow on social media. You have to pay the game a little bit.
It's one of those situations, I think, with social media where there is a game to play, and if you don't play it, you aren't going to win. And it sucks, I know. And people are like, oh, people ask me all the time, like, how much time you spend on social media? And I tell them, like, how I edit my videos, how I do all of the stuff, and, you know, where I post, why I post, what I put in my captions, if I use hashtags, why I use them. All these little things that all go into my content creation. And they're like, that must take you hours. I'm like, yeah, it does. And they're like, but why? I'm like, well, because this is my job. Like, if I don't do this, I'm not going to get booked for workshops. If I don't get booked for workshops, I don't make money. It's trying to keep on top of that sort of stuff. But I do see a lot of people, and I don't know if you do, like people who have been like really hard on it for months, and they've done really well, and then all of a sudden they just disappear. And you're like, you know that that person has just hit that limit and they've said, you know what, fuck this, I can't
do this. They're burnt out.
And I get it.
I get it too. Trust me, like it's still rough, like going and putting a lot of effort into a video, especially like it's a really hard combo or something like that. And it's getting 3,000-4,000 views. And then you go on your explore page and you see a bitch doing a fucking nebula or some like shit. And she has 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 views. And you're like, how is it that this complicated ass combo that I put all this time into is getting like pennies on the dollars of this other person's piece of shit move that I could do if I was half dead? You know what I mean? Like, so yes, of course it's frustrating, but we all have the option to not be on social media if we don't want to. You need to kind of just take the blows as they come and take the triumphs when they come, and just understand that it's not a reflection. Social media is not always an accurate reflection of you and your skills and your worth as an athlete or a dancer. So, I mean, people are going to
as well.
What's that?
Oh, go on. Sorry. Say what you were going to say.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that there's so many people that I have met in person, my in-person students. Of course, they know me on social media, but there's a huge gap between the perception of the person on social media and then how they actually are in person. And everyone's like, oh, man, I thought you were going to be such a huge bitch. Like, in person, I was scared of you. I was intimidated by you. And then I, like, realized that you're just, like, a goofy, nice, funny person. And you're just normal. I'm like, yeah, because, like, social media is not an accurate representation of someone's personality or their worth.
Yeah. I mean, when I met you just recently in Thailand, and I thought you were going to be a bitch as well, and you weren't. And I was so disappointed because I was really hoping you were going to be. I was like, damn it. I was hoping she was going to be worse than this. Why is she being nice?
You must have caught me on a good day, because I can be a bitch. I'm hoping to show a little bit of that today. Not like in like the mean way, but just...
We're going to see the true Meg today. And then I was going to say is like, as well, like with content, don't you hate it as well? Like, you know, when you say about, oh, this girl's gotten this amount of like comments or whatever, and I've got like nothing on mine. One thing I hate actually is when it happens with my own content. I'll post this really hard combo and I've worked so hard and it took me 20 goes to get it, but I eventually got it. And then I post it, hardly any comments. I'm like, ugh. And then I'll post the next day, like, I don't know, just a funny, stupid video, and it will get hundreds of comments.
Yeah, and then people are like, oh my God, wow.
I know. And you know, when you're just like, why am I bothering? Like, do you ever think that's like, do you ever think like, why am I bothering with this hard stuff? Why don't I just do the easy stuff?
I know. I'm like, just do a fucking Jade. And that's it. And then people are excited about it. I'm like, what is going on here? No, I don't understand it as well either.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm just like, why am I bothering here? This so why, seriously, why bother? But okay, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about dealing with online hate, dealing with trolls. So I want you to tell me of some times, because you've had it a lot, where obviously you've gotten into your opinions maybe online and people have chatted to you about it, or then it's turned into sort of like a bit of an online battle. What's been the most prevalent one in your career that you can remember that you've been like, oh my God, this has turned into a nightmare?
Okay. So,
I'm just imagining you like pulling out this massive list now of all these occasions.
This is my list. It's happened a lot to me. I would say probably the most prevalent was when it started to bleed into like my normal life and like my business. So during the, I think I told you like maybe a snippet of this in Thailand when we were together. During the heat of 2020, I believe it was 2020. Yes, because it was like...
of course it happened in 2020.
Yep, it happened in 2020, I believe. Yeah, it must have been because it was surrounding the COVID and then like the intersection of like the death of George Floyd and then COVID, like... were crisscrossing, and it was the summertime when all of the, I don't know how it was in the UK or Europe, but there was tons of riots. There was a lot of discussions and conversations around, you know, the police and, you know, racial systemic oppression and issues, obviously, that are very, very real in the US. Mm. But people were just really, really fired up about it, very, very fired up about it. And so when that was kind of all occurring, I'm sure people who are listening and maybe you remember the Black Square. So on it was like a random Tuesday, everyone posted the Black Square, like in, solidarity with Black Lives Matter. So I did not post the Black Square and my studio Instagram did not post the Black Square. Number one, because I was not trying to get involved in that conversation. And number two, just simply because I didn't want to, and it's my social media page and I'm not going to have my professional studio page posting about political topics. That was something that I really wanted to keep separate. And I knew it was such a hot button topic and I knew not posting it was going to create problems. So I just sort of took a deep inhale and I actively chose inaction in that moment. And that began a domino effect that to this day still echoes in my life. I had
really even still today.
It was insane. I had dozens of people messaging me on Instagram being like, you have all these followers, the fact that you're not speaking up. I got called Nazi, I got called racist, I got called, a rumor was spread about me that I was going to KKK rallies, all because I had not posted this Black Square. And then when people were bringing it up to me, I was kind of double downing, like, I don't know what the word is. Yeah, doubling down, that's the phrase. I was doubling down on it and being like, I wasn't saying I'm not posting this for this reason. I was just like, I'm staying out of this conversation, and people did not like that. So that caused a lot of problems.
Oh, hey, so sorry to interrupt your podcast. I just wanted to pop in really quickly to tell you about one of our sponsors. And today's podcast is sponsored by Ra Designs. Ra Designs is an activewear brand that create activewear for pole dancers and people doing alternative fitness, aka aerial silks, aerial hoops, straps, you name it, they've got something for you. They've got a women's range. They've got a men's range. Woo! I love men's pole wear because it's so hard to find. And they've also got a whole range for women with curves. Can we talk about women with boobs? It's hard to keep these babies in, I hear, right? Well, Ra have got you covered. They have got a curvy girl range, which is going to keep you feeling supported and looking amazing. So please go and check out our sponsor for today. Thank you so much to Ra. We are so happy to have you on this podcast. Go and check out Ra Designs.
Yes. Okay. So yes, they were calling me because I hadn't posted this Black Square. They were calling me a Nazi. There was a rumor that was started that I had gone to a KKK rally. And then there was multiple burner Instagram accounts made and messages sent to my staff. And there was just so much vitriol and hatred that was levied my way, but it was all in more of an anonymous setting. So I never really knew who was sending it, But I knew that, I definitely knew that some of those, a lot of those messages were being sent by current students of mine. There was like a core group at the studio who were really, really, really upset that the studio hadn't spoke up in support of Black Lives Matter by posting the Black Square. And it caused so much tension. And all of those people ended up canceling their memberships and leaving, which was fine with me because I was like, I can't do this. And I did try and extend a lot of conversations towards those people, but it didn't really matter because, I mean, they even contacted Justine, the founder of A Cold Poll, and was like, hey, like, Meg is problematic for these reasons. And like, so, and they're like, well, do you really want this person representing your brand? Like, I think you really need to think again on this. And Justine, of course, was like, this is literal insanity. And like, who the fuck are these crazy people? I'm like, they're crazy. They're literally crazy. So it was that really caused so it was just a whole pile of shit.
Right.
Where it actually extended into a courtroom. And it was just horrible. So we lost probably 10 or 15 members from that, but it wasn't necessarily that was the biggest issue for me. It was the fact that these people were making fake accounts and then telling my Black instructor that I was racist. And of course she knew me, so she knew that that wasn't the case, and she knew that there was definitely it just was like a lot of rumor and gossip and just people being assholes. But at the end of the day, I think that was a big turning point for me where I was like, I need to be extremely cautious over not only what I say, but what I don't say. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I would say that was like, it was like a big wake up call where I finally, the rose colored glasses came off and I was like, damn, people will hate me for what I say, but they will hate me for what I don't say just as much.
Absolutely. So I was super tempted at the time to not post it as well, not because I don't support it, because I absolutely do, but it was because I didn't want, I basically said to myself, I was like, oh God, like, I don't know whether that's a conversation that I should insert myself into. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm worried about the repercussions of posting it. And then because everyone else was posting it, and then I was checking on their profiles and seeing if there was any issues, and it seemed fine. I was like, okay, then I'm going to post it as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, didn't the same thing happen to Leanne Riley?
Yes.
Do you remember? She didn't post it either. And it came down hard on her.
The old owner of B-Spun?
Yes.
So what happened to her is, this is what happened to her, because I came to her defense. I might not have all of these details correct, but I'm pretty sure that this is what occurred. I'm not sure if she had posted the Black Square or not. I feel like they actually did. I feel like for her, the issues began when she posted, I don't know if it was on the studio page or on her personal page, she posted a picture of the girls at the studio putting like boards like over the windows and the doors because of all the riots that were coming through town. But on the boards themselves, they were writing like, you know, Black Lives Matter. Like they were clearly in support, like in verbal support, like of the group, but they were just trying to protect the business by like putting boards up. I think that is what caused people to get really pissed, because it was like, there was this rhetoric, and it was said to me too, because there was tons of riots going on in downtown Cleveland. A whole block of small businesses were absolutely trashed in June of that year when all of this was happening in my studios in downtown Cleveland. So luckily we were protected because we're inside of another building, but you know, I would have put boards on the windows too, but I think the rhetoric was, you should allow these people to smash your windows because they are angry and this is justified righteous anger, and putting boards up or trying to prevent this from happening is basically, you know, like a show of, I don't support you, even though everything else was everything else that she was doing was showing support for them. So, and she got roasted. She got fucking roasted for this. And it was just so sad.
Well, I saw that thing. A lot of it didn't make a lot of sense to me because I wasn't in the US and I'm not local. I didn't know what was really happening. So like that, what you just told me was news to me. I didn't know about that, but I just heard that she was getting a lot of shit. And then I saw that I think she might have posted an apology or something. And it's a difficult one because people at the time, right? The thing was, right, during COVID, so many people were being cancelled left, right, and centre. But now it's not as prevalent anymore. And you know why? It's because people don't have the fucking time now. Whereas then they were sat at home, not working. Yep. They were off work and stuff. People had so much time. They were spending their time on their phones. So people had the time to cancel someone over shit like that. Whereas now people are back to their normal lives. They don't have the time for shit like that. And the thing is this is all stuff as well. Not even just about that situation, but all the different things that people kick off about online. This is all stuff they would never say to someone's face. And I know because a lot of these people have seen me, the people that have ever tried coming for me online, they've then seen me at events and haven't said a word to me.
Oh no, they won't really say anything.
Mm-mm. No, they've never said anything to me. I think I would have more respect for anyone who came up to me and said, hey, just want to let you know, the reason I posted this about you is because this. Then maybe we could have an actual conversation. Maybe we could actually talk to each other and we could discuss
what these people want, because the same girl.
They don't.
And I know who I'm going to call these bitches out. Summer, Skyla, Rebecca, like, I know you bitches, because this one girl who was, you know, she like finished her membership. She didn't cancel, but she finished her membership and she was in my classes for a long, long time. Her name was Skyla. And you know, I was so invested in her and her growth and her progress. And, you know, I was always cracking jokes with her. Like, we had a very good rapport. So when her membership completed and she decided not to continue on coming to the studio, it was a very amicable, in my eyes, it was a very amicable kind of separation where she's like, I'm going to go pursue other things. I'm like, you know, I wish you the best of luck. And then 3 days later, she's telling my black instructor at another studio that I'm racist. And she's telling her friends are telling my Jewish instructor that I am a Nazi. And I'm like, and I sent her a message. I was like, Skyla, this is really interesting to me. And I'm like, this is extremely hurtful. The fact that you've been in my classes for years and I've been so invested in you and you've seen how I behave with students and how I conduct myself. And have you ever seen this behavior from me? Do you have any evidence of this? I'm like, this is really just a shame that like from a former student who I thought we had a mutual respect and understanding that you would go ahead, give me a hug and say goodbye. Like I wish you well. And then 2 days later do this. So it's like, no, they don't give a fuck about act. And she never answered that message. She left me on red. So
I was just about to say, what did she say? That
nope, she left me on red and it's fine.
But you know why? Like, and that's because she's been confronted on her bullshit.
Right. And like people this are not people as well. Are uncomfortable. People have gotten too comfortable with not without confrontation. And I think that social media has just perpetuated this, that they think that because they have this wall of social media between them, what they say doesn't have as much of an impact, or that they don't have to actually defend themselves or have any productive conversation around it. But like, that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, you know what? I don't fucking have time for this unless you're willing to have a productive conversation with me. I have no problem with people who have a difference of an opinion than I do. Life would be really boring if everybody around me thought the exact same thing as I do. But absolutely. The people, like you said, like during COVID and stuff, yes, they were bored, but also I think humans in general have this ability to sort of just have this mob. They get this mob mentality when they feel unstimulated. And social media, I think, is such a like cauldron of mob mentality where they're like, oh, everyone else is saying this. And if I don't say this, then people are going to come for me, or like, I need my virtue points of the day. So I'm going to go ahead and just pander and just pander and pander and pander. And then when they're actually confronted, they just shut the fuck down because they don't actually, there's no substance to what they're saying. They're just blindly just recycling the same buzzwords over and over again. So I'm not trying to go on a tangent, but so I'm gonna close my mouth right there. But
no, I know what you mean, but it's so funny, like the confrontation part really hits home for me as well, because you know, I always just want to have a conversation with people, because I'm like, listen, we don't have to agree, but there's no need to have to go off online and be like, oh, this person, like, you need to cancel this person. And do you know what I find a lot of it is? I find that most of the things that people kick off about online, they don't always actually believe it. They're just doing it because they want to chase some clout. And like recently, well, actually it was last year, one of the last Tuesday topics I did, people were kicking off about it. No problem. Like, you know, kick off, that's fine. Like, I don't really care. It's fine. But then people start to, when like I don't do anything about it, they're like, oh, now we're going to attack Dan. Let's attack Dan directly. And then if he doesn't respond to that, let's get personal about him. I'm like, guys, I'm not going to respond to this. Like, you know, people are like goading me for a response. And I'm just like, no. But it's that whole thing of like, there's been occasions in the past where, you know, people have tried coming for me and stuff. And I've been like, okay, why don't we have a conversation about this? Like, and I actually offered, there was a, I can't remember what it was. It was ages and ages ago now, but I remember it was something to do with like, it must have been something to do with sex workers, I think, or strippers or something to do with that. And there was this girl that I'd offered to like come onto the podcast. I was like, let's discuss it. I was like, I think this is a really important topic. Let's talk about it. She's like, okay. And then bailed and was like, oh, actually, no, I've decided I don't want to do it. And then the same, that's happened to me with three people before who I've then contacted me like, hey, why don't we discuss this topic? You know, you've posted about it. And actually, I agree with some of the stuff you're saying. Let's talk about it. And they just don't respond. And I'm just like, you're so good at like chatting your shit on the page. But when it comes to actually being challenged, it's just like, why not? Like, why can't we discuss it as two human beings who have differing opinions? And let's talk about, like, you know, it's like, why can't we discuss why I feel the way I feel and you feel the way you feel? I don't want to change your mind the same way you're not going to change my mind. But
it's
just think
because, like, they just
it
want
to great to raise awareness of it.
Yeah, they just want to, they want to yap. They want their virtue points and they do it for clout. They don't actually have any interest in formulating like a progressive discussion on it. Like the whole thing happened with the exotic. You remember this when the word came under fire of like, we can't do this. We can't do this. We can't say exotic anymore. It's this and this and this.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that rebels when people try and police my language, because from someone who, like, I have such a great respect for language, my degree is in language. And, you know, I've spent a lot of my time writing, expressing myself through language. And I'm like, language is such a source of like autonomy for people. And of course there's a difference between hate speech and language. But when people try and tell me that the language that I'm using is offensive, I'm like, bitch, I'll say it however the way I fucking want to say it. And if it's offensive to you, you don't have to listen to me. But no one's going to tell me what I can and can't say. If I want to call my exotic classes exotic pole, I fucking will. So me and Nadia Sharif, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, Nadia. Yeah, I think it's Sharif. I'm pretty sure I say that. Right.
Yeah, well, we got into it real hardcore over the exotic conversation, and I've been blocked for a long time, but me and Malta and a couple other,
it's really funny, I'm just gonna mention this to you really quickly now, you can carry on with your story in a second, but you mentioned this, it's really funny because Nadia was one of the main people that was talking about the exotic conversation, and then someone sent me a Tuesday topic and I shared it, and it was about Nadia, and I like Nadia, I wouldn't say she's a friend, but I've met her a few times. I get on quite well with Nadia, but it was like, oh, someone who was like really, you know, prevalent on the discussion about the exotic topic. They are now judging Exotic Generation, you know,
ooh,
and then people are like, well, who is it? Like,
that's the cherry. Oh, that's the cherry. Because suddenly when it affects.
But I didn't realize it was
her. It doesn't matter that we're using the word exotic. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And no, I have no problem saying it's on site if I see her, because I do not fucking like her. And she's, in my opinion, extremely problematic. for the community in general. And also no one voted her the president of what we can call certain poll styles or not. Like, it's just, I just don't get it. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult for me to say because I do like Nadia.
Right, and that's fine. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And like, but this thing is, I don't feel like, I think it's very difficult sometimes, like you said, with social media, to tell what people's intentions are. And I know that her intentions will have been good, but it's that whole thing of like, it, you know, when she commented on it, she was like, yeah, it was me. What about it? And like, she was quite defensive about it. And I was a bit like, I get it. You know, if someone's going to pay you money, we ain't going to turn down money, right? We can't afford to. And especially at this time, I think this was not after the pandemic maybe. And, you know, right. I get it. But it's that whole thing of like, you know, I'm very much like pro sex work, pro stripping, right? So I would never then go and judge a pole sport competition which doesn't allow people to do that style. Do you know what I mean?
Controversial. I think that everyone has a price and she found hers. So, and that's all I'll really say about that, because it's just really coincidental to me and funny that, you know, people will sit around, but when it comes to them making money and it, when it starts to affect their earnings, suddenly they're like, oh, I can set my virtues aside for a moment and my beliefs. It's fine.
I think you've got to remember as well, and what we always forget is that with all of this shit, it all comes down to what's going to best serve that other person. So another example, right? Again, one of the Tuesday topic kickoffs, and this was one of the most recent ones. This was end of last year. Two people who I considered like people that I'd actually booked to teach on my online platform or in my studio that I wouldn't necessarily be friends of mine, but like I got on with them, and they were really kicking off about this issue and were talking about me, didn't message me, didn't say, hey Dan, listen, I'm gonna message you now just to say, like, you know, I'm really not happy you've done this. Why have you done this? And I want to open this conversation. They didn't do that. They just started posting about it. But what they were doing was, and it was so funny, because as someone who sees through stuff like this quite easily, I found it quite hilarious, because what they were doing, they weren't just kicking off about this subject. They were using this subject as a way to gain for themselves, because the whole topic was about licking the pole. Hilarious. It was actually... some of it was actually kind of hilarious because the comments were so funny on the post, but like, because people saw it for what it was. They saw it as it was just like a stupid topic. Like it was just a joke really, more than anything else. But, you know, a lot of people got really offended by this woman's question.
Yeah. And then, I remember like someone else like saying that they were offended by this, and I don't really understand how or why.
No, I mean, when I saw people's arguments about it, I thought, yeah, I can see why they're offended by it, but that's fine. And that's the whole point of Tuesday topic, is it's supposed to be down to interpretation. Like some people think it, the thing is people were trying to make it out that it was very anti-sex work and stripper. I can understand why they might have seen it that way, but it wasn't its intention. I just knew it wasn't. It was about the cleanliness of it. It was nothing to do with how it even came around to that. I don't know. But anyway, and these two people were then like, right, you know, in solidarity with like licking the pole and stuff, I want you to post a picture of you licking the pole, tag me, and I'm going to share it. And I was like, wow, you've literally taken this situation and you've used it as a way to create this hashtag and get everyone to post and tag you because they want to be up your fucking ass and stuff. And you're like, what a clever way. And, you know, both like, these people
thank
built,
you. You know, thank you, Nelson Mandela. Like, thank you. You're bringing Pete. You get a Nobel Peace Prize for your great work. Like, fuck off. People have such an inflated sense of self-importance in this, like, on social media. Like, nope, you're not revolutionary, honey. No one gives a shit. Okay. And that's
But it's just that whole thing of like, but they didn't give a shit. And this was the thing that bothered me the most, was that they didn't really give a shit. All they gave a shit about was creating a name for themselves.
Right.
And it's
like
so
writing,
funny because one of
the
these people.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, as well, is that what you got to remember with guys, and I'm putting this out as a public notice, when you are going to talk smack about other people online, be aware that it is going to make you a target later on. And I decided on that topic just to stay quiet. And I did. And there was a girl who had made a lot of posts about the subject. And then she made a post about something completely different. But she was really speaking out of turn. She didn't obviously have enough knowledge about the subject. And then people came for her. And she posted and was like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry I've offended people. And I just thought, well, that's karma, boo. It's going to come when it's going to get you. You've got to be careful. Yeah. Like, you just got to be really careful on what you're going to say.
I was just going to say, I've accepted the fact that, like, I have been, people have been attempting to cancel me for quite some time, which is fine. Like, that must mean that.
Same.
Yeah, I'm like, that. It means that we're doing something right. I think that when people start coming for you in that way, like, there's a level of jealousy and insecurity surrounding that, and that's fine. Literally, since the inception of me polling, my previous boss at my first studio, she was also a horrible witch that wanted me just, she wanted to see me in shambles. She wanted to see me just in tatters, and that's fine. Like, people have been wanting to see my downfall for quite some time, but to be honest, because I'm so affirmed in myself. And I think, like, this is really where the difference is. Like, that's why you do have these people that speak their mind. And then all these people just rush them. And they're like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. To the point where that person's like, fine, fine, fine. I'm sorry. Like, no, if this is my real opinion, I'm not fucking sorry for it. This is my Instagram page. I'm going to post what I want to post on my own Instagram page. Like I said before, like, if they don't like it, they have the opportunity to keep scrolling. They have the opportunity to click away from me. They have the opportunity to unfollow me. So if you want to spend your precious energy trying to get me canceled, that's up to you. But at the end of the day, like, I'm not going anywhere. So just keep that in mind.
And that, I think as well, what you got to remember is that, and this is the thing, and people don't really look at stuff like this. Look at all the people that have, like, people have tried to cancel in the pole community, people kicking off about all these different people, whatever it may be.
And they're still
here. All of them are still around. Yeah. They're still here. It's not doing anything. Like, and that's because people don't actually care. Let me tell you now, if I were to, I don't know, do something terrible, like rape someone, let's say, terrible thing, and something that's actually a serious crime, and people are cancelling me then, sure. But, you know, and actually, do you know, I'm, in fact, do you know what's actually, I say that, and now I'm actually doubting what I've just said, because I don't know if you saw this whole drama around the whole Gomez poll situation. Did you see that?
I did. I was going to bring that up, actually. So, I mean,
because he was, like, accused by a lot of women.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's about it.
Still people booking him for workshops.
People are still booking him for workshops. It's just, you said.
Right. Yeah. So I literally, he was supposed to teach at a pole camp and stuff. Like, you know, and you just sort of think, you know, yeah, sure. Some people might not have seen it. So it might just be that some people might not have seen it, but it's unlikely.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard, I think, at this point. People have seen it. Like, I feel like it was going everywhere. I was seeing it all over the place. People were sending it to me. I'm like, I didn't even know who that guy was until, like, I didn't follow him. I didn't even know who he was until all of this drama happened. I was like, damn. And, like, yeah, there's actually legitimate reasons why someone should be pushed out of the industry or should be pushed out of this community. This is a very vulnerable community. This is, like, you know, pole attracts a certain alternative person. And a lot of people come from, you know, difficult mindsets. You know, there's tons of vulnerabilities and insecurities and reasons why people begin pole. So to have somebody predatory in the community, I feel like that's different than someone just having a political ideology that you don't agree with. You know what I mean? Like, those are completely two different things. So people are so quick.
I just find you're never going to find a good place to sit because, so for example, right, it's like the whole Palestine-Israel thing at the moment. I'm not saying anything on it. Do you know what? The main reason being, because I feel like I don't know enough about it. I feel, some people tell me stuff and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm just like, wow, like, I really know nothing about it. But, you know, I've got Jewish family. I mean, my nan is so anti, like, Gaza, all this sort of stuff. Like, she's very pro-Israel. And then, you know, I've got, like, other people in my friends and family who are super pro-Palestine. And I, if I'm honest, I don't really feel like I'm educated enough to be able to form an opinion, but I also am not going to fall out with people over it. I'm not going to, if someone posts about it, but, you know, there are poll dancers, I won't mention names just in case people go for them for whatever reason, but, you know, there are people posting pro-Palestine stuff and they're getting a lot of shit for it. And I'm like, wow, like, this is just what they're passionate about. They feel that this is important. Let them speak. Let them say what they want to say. And,
I think it's...
and this is a problem is that, go on.
Oh, no, I interrupted you.
No. I was just going to say, like, I think this is the problem is you've got to be, you know, if you're going to have an opinion, be prepared that other people are going to disagree with it.
I mean, that's basically what I was going to say is, like, part of that acceptance now for me is I know, like, I share way, way, way less of, like, I don't do very many rants. Like, I don't share my opinion unless it, on Instagram anymore, unless it's something that is very, very close to home. Or something that I feel particularly strong about, because I'm like, you know what? There's no point engaging with a bunch of people over Instagram who don't give a fuck, who aren't going to change their mind, who don't want to hear it. Like, it's just a waste of my fucking energy, and my energy is better spent in other areas of my life. So it's not because I don't believe those things, but it's because, like, I don't feel like fucking arguing about it, and I don't care. I don't give a shit. I don't care what other people think about it.
Yeah.
If they want to think something, you know, they want to think this, I want to think this. Can we just agree to disagree and that's it? But I think, like, some people, if you feel called to do it, absolutely. Like, I will always support freedom of speech in every fashion, especially for topics that are controversial, especially for topics that I don't agree with, because, you know, that's the entire point of freedom of speech is you are allowed to say whatever the fuck you want, but that opens you up to actually to scrutiny, to criticism. So it's not just I can say whatever I want and get away with it. It's no, I can say whatever I want, but there are consequences. There are societal consequences for saying these things. So I think it's like if you want to say it, just be prepared that people are going to give you shit for it, but it's your right to say it.
And this is the thing as well, is that I think you just got to decide, is it worth saying anything? Because this is that whole thing of, like, as well, and this was one of the subjects I wanted to come on to, was, like, how do you deal with it when you're getting this online hate? How do you deal with when you're being trolled? And actually, one thing that I've learned the hard way over so many situations was that actually the best way to deal with it is to do nothing. And actually to not acknowledge
Don't engage.
And do you know what's so funny? And you'll know how seriously in trouble you are or how much you fucked up, because you'll know by how long it takes for it to disappear. The last issue I had last year, which was kind of the last thing, I'm going for, like, a winning streak of having a year with no drama. I'm doing well so far. But, you know, and, like, that last one that happened last year, you know, it was over within about 48 hours. Literally, people posted about it, stayed on stories for 24 hours. A few more people posted something else. That stayed on their stories for a little bit longer. And then nothing. Just
it's
disappeared.
Gone.
And I was like, why have I not done this in the past? Because in the past, I've made posts, apologies, or I've done whatever. And it does nothing. It just causes more problems, because then they pick up your apology. They're like, oh, that's a fake apology. This is this. But so I just thought, what's the point? I'm just not going to bother. I'm just going to let it disappear, because it's really not worth my time and energy anyway. And it's, you know, just a fucking ridiculous thing to have to apologize for when I've not done anything wrong. So I'm just I'm not going to apologize for something that I don't feel I need to apologize for. I'm going to let it disappear. And you always know whether it was actually worth apologizing or not, because if people aren't talking about it within 24 hours, it obviously wasn't that fucking important.
It wasn't that bad. And that is, like, one of the benefits about social media is everything is so transient, you know? So people have a very poor memory. They will be so quick to jump on someone in a mob and pounce on them. And then, you know, a week later, they're like, on to the next thing. So the best thing that you can do, if I could give advice to anybody listening, is just don't fucking do anything. Literally. Block people, protect your space, and, like, establish your own boundaries with that. But don't engage. Don't fucking engage with anyone. And, like, that's the best that you can do. Because I guarantee, like, 99% of the people people talking shit about you would never say shit to your face. So what's the
Absolutely
point?
Absolutely not. And actually, what's really funny about that, actually, and again, like one of the keyboard warriors who has for many years just decided she doesn't like me, I saw her at an event, and it was at an event that she had tried cancelling, lol. She'd like kicked off about it, saying, oh, you know, we shouldn't be supporting these events, blah, blah, blah. And she was on a stall. She was on a stall working at this event. And the person she was working on the stall with walked past me. She walked past me and I was like, hey, babe, how are you? And this other girl was behind her. And I turned to this girl and I was like, I'm really shocked to see you here because why are you trying to cancel this event? I thought you didn't support this person's event. And she was like, oh, well, I'm here supporting a friend. And and she just gave me this, like, she was called out and she didn't know what to say. And I was like, oh, it just felt so good because she didn't have her phone in her hand. She couldn't think her response up. So she just couldn't come up with anything.
Ooh,
and
I
then I was
that.
Like, oh, that was, I'm so glad I said something. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It felt so good.
Yeah. It's like that justice right there.
Right, exactly. And it's just like, don't get me wrong, like, I don't want to have arguments with anyone. I really don't care. If I'm being honest, I don't care enough to have arguments with people. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, you have your opinion, I'm going to have mine. That's no problem. But like, don't be a keyboard warrior. And actually, one thing I will say as a bit of defense, because this is a mechanism that I use to sometimes deal with trolling or anyone who's behaving in a bad way. And like you said, I don't really post much anymore, like when stuff kicks off. But if I do, it's only because it's personal to me. So mm-hmm. when Anastasia Sokolova was being super homophobic, I decided to make the trolley posts. But it was in like a jokey way. Like she'd made a post about me and was like, oh, dear Dan, she was like, you're amazing at promoting my Instagram and stuff. And then what I did was I took her post and I clipped it up and it made it sound like she was being really nice about me. She was like, oh, Dan, you're amazing. You're doing a great job.
Oh my
so I
God.
Made I made a sound of that and then I put it over a video and people found it hilarious because I just thought you're literally making yourself look foolish at this point. So I just went along with the foolery. So that's how I deal with it. I don't necessarily recommend anyone listening to this podcast to deal with it that way. But a lot of the time, me and my friends just laugh about it together. Like when people are making these posts, we just send it to our WhatsApp groups and we're just like, this is just hilarious. Like, what is wrong with this person? Like, well, how do you deal with it yourself?
Me, I would say like, in general, it depends what it is. I haven't gotten any extreme like hate. Like no one's really come for me in a long time. And I think it's because like I've taken a big step back of like posting. Like, okay, so do you remember when I used to post the I used to do like the opinion stories where I would put up a question and people would put unpopular opinions in it and then people would vote on them.
Yeah.
So I did this multiple times. This literally, like, this I think is one of the main contributors to why I'm still shadow banned to this day, because people's opinions were so extreme. But even when they weren't my opinions, it didn't matter because I was posting them on my story. So, you know, people were saying, you know, like things like COVID is fake, all lives matter, like shit that's like very like provocative and controversial. And I would put them up on my stories and then I would be getting, the stories would get removed and my account would get, you know, tacked with like a black mark. And so still to this day, I think like a lot of the effects of the shadow ban are because of those. So once I stopped posting a lot of those, people kind of like left me alone. I still think people are kind of in the sidelines, like just waiting and watching to see if I just, I don't know, just suddenly die one day. But I would say like nowadays,
oh, of course.
Oh yeah. They want me down. They want me dead. And that's fine. Like it's fine, but I'm not going to die. And that's also fine.
I don't know that they want you dead, babe. They
no,
probably
I mean,
don't
that's
want you
obviously
to die,
an extreme.
I think it's just they want to see.
They want to see me get my comeuppance because they don't like me. And that's that to me, that's fine because it is what it is. I have accepted it at this point. But I would say like in general, when issues do come up, like my business partner, we'll do the same thing. We'll literally send each other shit back and forth and be like, can you believe what this dumb ass fucking bitch just said? And I'll shut that shit down quick and be like, and just end the conversation there, or I'll just block people or completely ignore them. I do have an ability to really belittle and degrade people. So if I'm feeling extra cunty that day, I'll just pull out like the sarcasm and be like, yeah, okay, sweetie, have a good day. And I think it's honestly the trolls and the people that hate you and that they want to see a rise, like they want to get a rise out of you. They want to see you get upset. They want to see you be affected negatively by what they're doing or saying. So if you just don't become negatively affected by what they're saying, they get pissed. So I just let it happen. And I just joke it off just like you do, because what else can you do? You know?
I think as well, if you don't laugh about it, you're just going to cry about it, aren't you? It's that whole thing of like, what else can I do with this situation? And the thing is as well, so one thing I've noticed you do is you do respond to people's comments and stuff, whereas I won't even really do that anymore. Like I used to, but I don't anymore. Just think, what are we going to achieve from this? You've already told me you feel this way, and I've already told you I feel this way. So where are we going from here? What are we going to discuss? And it's just like, what's the point in defending yourself against people that you don't respect the opinion of anyway, or people that you don't like? Why are you going to defend yourself against them? That would be so weird. And it's like, you know, when you're walking along the street and you see some drunk person, they're spewing abuse or whatever, because they're like, you know, I don't know, they're just crazy, or there's a crazy person on the street and they're just shit. You wouldn't go over and engage with them, would you? You'd just keep walking. You'd ignore them. So why are we engaging with people on social media in the same manner? It makes no sense to me. So that's why now I tend to just ignore it and stuff, and I just tend to let it do what it's doing. And I guess really the moral of my story for anyone listening is to just don't engage. It will be gone within 24 hours. People literally get bored so quickly on social media. Yeah. And I remember that last one I was telling you about, literally within about 48 hours, there was already another thing they were talking about.
and then it's done.
It was just like, oh, okay.
It's like it passes just like everything else. Like even the storm of what happened in 2020 for me, it's, you know, I still remember it. It left a large impression on me, and I learned lessons from it for sure, and things that I could have done better and would do differently now. But, you know, at the same time, like my studio still exists. I'm still doing pole. Like the world keeps turning. And there's so much more important shit to worry about than what somebody thinks of you. You know, especially somebody online, like who gives a fuck?
Absolutely.
Chances are you're never going to meet this person in real life, and their life has absolutely no, will have absolutely no intersection with yours beyond this point. So it's just kind of like, who cares?
I think a lot of it does have to do with jealousy. It's like, you got to remember that sometimes people are just so miserable, and maybe they're jealous that, especially if we're talking about social media, right? If you are someone listening to this, looking to grow your social media, and you do well and you start to grow, just be aware that you are going to get haters for it, because people don't like to see people doing well. And that's the thing. Like, I mean, I've had people come at me before because they've been like, oh, Dan Rosen's making too much money. I always remember that one, because I'm always just like, what? Like,
what?
This is supposed to be an industry where we're trying to lift each other up to make more money. I'm like,
right,
so
like, what are you complaining about?
I get it.
There's enough to go around, honey. Like, what?
It's just, and that's the thing. It's just like, don't hate on me because I'm achieving something that you want to achieve. It's like, you know, go and do it yourself. I'm sure you can. Do it. I did it.
I mean, maybe they can't.
You can do it.
Maybe they just suck and they can't do it and they're just angry about it. But go find something that you're good at. Like, if you're not good at this,
go find something that you're good at. Right. It's just like, maybe that's why they're trolling people online. Maybe that's what they're good at. Maybe that's what they've decided they're good at. They're just going to stick with that.
Good. That's fine. I guess we need them. We need them in some ways, or else we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have half as much drama to talk about. It's true.
But also, and as well, this is also public notice. Remember that actually, if you're not getting any hate at all, if you haven't got anybody talking about you, or you're not getting any hate whatsoever, you are probably doing something wrong. So it means you're not doing very well, because people only really attack people who are successful, who are doing well, because they want to try and bring them down.
I mean, it was
if you
ain't
getting any,
to learn. where, you know, with the first studio that I worked at, until they were very supportive and happy and excited when I was just a baby poler, like a beginner. And as soon as they saw that I was advancing quickly and I was rising up the ladder, suddenly I became a threat and they just started treating me like shit. So it's like people will be angry at you for the sheer fact that you're good at it, and they are because they're threatened by it, because it threatens their space. It now puts you at a higher position in their minds, even if it's not true, it puts you in a higher position over them, and people don't like to feel that way. Now there's the comparison game. So like for me, I got hate just for being good at pole in the studio that I began in because I love to do it. I trained it every day. I trained probably 20, 30 hours a week, like the first like year, and I got good, and I got good quickly, and I picked it up fast. And they hated me for that. And it ended up, you know, destroying my relationship with that studio, unfortunately, to this day. Which is it is quite a shame because we're supposed to be a community, we're supposed to be an industry. And it also it kind of violated this I just was so in love with pole, you know. It was like I was swept away. I loved it so much and I was coming out of my shell and I was learning so much about myself and I felt so good and I just was so happy. And then to have a group of people behind me saying talking shit about me, making me feel like a black sheep just because I was doing what I love to do and what was making my soul happy. I was like, damn, there really are people out here that will root for your downfall for the mere fact that you are happy. So it is a shame, but
Literally.
it is something that is so prevalent, you know, in real life and on social media where it's like people want to see. I mean, this is why celebrities. You know, oh, celebrities getting divorced, celebrities cheating, celebrities going through strife, celebrities going through a hard time. People watch that shit, like, and they chew that shit up because there's something inside of humans that kind of want to see the destruction of somebody else who is at like this elevated place. And I don't know how to fix that. I'm not saying there is a fix to it, but it's something that you have to be aware of on social media because people will want you to fail. And they will sit in the sidelines and clap when they see you struggling. So you have to rise above that in whatever way you can.
I think the only way you can improve it or, ever eradicate it is by, educating people that, these nasty comments and stuff. And I'm telling you, as someone who used to be the person who used to write those comments, I used to, talk shit on people's pages and stuff. I didn't agree with them either. And now I always ask myself, what value is this comment on their post going to make? Is it going to make them feel good? Is it going to incite a good conversation? The lightness is that the answer is no. And if the answer is no, don't ruin your own day. Just get on with your day and
Right.
just scroll past. And if it's bothered you that much, just unfollow them. Just unfollow them if it's bothered you that much. It's not worth engaging with and falling out with someone because it's really not. I've just realized that life is just far too short for that bullshit for me.
Enough said. Amen. A fucking
Enough
man.
said, like literally. To finish us off, can you going back to more like growing your social media page, because this is our focus. Obviously, we were talking about online dramas and canceling all that sort of stuff. That was our subject for today. But in terms of growing social media platforms and stuff and working on social media, what are your give me some top tips that you would recommend to people? It could be anything, it could be like editing apps that you use, it could be like time of day to post. What are your top tips?
So I would say I definitely pay attention to when I post. I know in like specific areas there's different like peak times, so I think it's quite easy to look that up actually, depending on your area. So I always suggest doing that. Obviously, we talked about aesthetics, angle, camera quality, like that is so important. The correct music, like to the specific movements, I find that the videos where the music and my movements are really synced up do a whole lot better than when it's kind of just like sort of gray and ambiguous. But besides sort of like those, I don't use any editing apps. I just, you know, use like my normal reel. I would say I'm definitely not an expert and I would like to know more about actually creating more like in-depth content. But I think, like, for me at the end of the day, what draws me to somebody's page and what makes me want to stick around is if I feel like the content that they're putting out is genuine and, like, true to themselves. I think that's the most important thing. Like, at the end of the day, remember that, like, it's your social media page. And of course you want to grow it. You want to give the audience what they want, but at the same time, a lot of what audiences want, or maybe what your target audience wants, is just to see you being authentic, and to feel connected to you in that, like, realistic human sense. My page did get a lot of traction from videos, but at the same time, like, there's so many people that have messaged me or met me in person and have expressed to me that because I keep it so real on my stories, you know, in my comments and my captions, like, this is all a part of it. It's not just about the videos. It's about your presence. I do try. I know I'm not as good at it now as I used to be, but, you know, I do try and reply to every comment and answer most of the DMs, you know, when I can get to them, so that the people that engage with me feel that I'm really interested in engaging back with them and, you know, having a conversation, extending myself in that way. So just trying not to forget that your followers are the reason that you become popular, or you get workshop jobs, or you get booked at a retreat or something. It's those people that are supporting you. So I think remembering them and giving respect to them and showing them appreciation is going to take you. It's just going to take you to that next level, I think. So I don't know if that's going to be helpful towards anybody, but because, like I said, I'm in the Instagram shadow ban doghouse because all of my videos are flagged for sexual content because we're pole dancers. But at the end of the day, that is what I would suggest.
No, I think that's all really great advice, though. I think that's super great advice. And I think, you know, anyone listening to this will agree. But again, like, the focus on, focusing on your followers, like, I agree, like, make sure that you're creating content and stuff for them, and remembering that, you know, you're not just trying to pull new people in. Remember, there's people actually on your page who are already engaging with your stuff. Create stuff that you think they're going to like, you know, and that will naturally pull more people in, for sure.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast with me. It's been amazing having you on. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to chat to me.
Of course.
Hopefully I'll get to see you again soon. But before you leave, just remind me, your Instagram is at Meg the Supernova. There's nothing else, is there?
Meg the Supernova.
So people, make sure you go and check out Meg's page, not just for the good poll, but for the shit talking. It's worth it, I promise you.
I guess I need to start doing more shit talking now.
Thank you so much. This is probably the most shit talking we've done in a long time. So yeah, I've had so much fun chatting with you. Thank you for coming
me
on.
Me too. And, the feeling is mutual.
I hope we'll get to chat again soon.
Thank you.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really hope you're enjoying this series, and let me know what you think of it by dropping me a message on @DanRosenPole on Instagram. Until next time, bye.
That was all the tea that you can get this week. Join me next time right here. It's the weekly update.